Welcome back to the pod. It's your boy Radoon.
It's your boy Jay-Z.
Anyways, guys, we got a great episode with Manon Matthews. You know her from Vine, Instagram, all that stuff. Manon is one of our best friends. I've known her for, I think, 4 or 5 years now. And today, on today's episode, her and Brandon get a little bit awkward. And I love that shit. So it's going to be good. It's great. They work through some issues that Brandon has been harboring with Manon. So super interesting. And it's actually a good example of like how to communicate with your friends if you have an issue with them. So we handled it very well and maturely. So use this as a lesson because we're here to teach you guys. This is an educational podcast on, first of all, science, then math, and then relationships. I'm just kidding. Not very happy with that joke I just improvised. But moving on, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online therapy service. They're an amazing way to get therapy from home for stress, anxiety, depression, and more. BetterHelp is much cheaper than seeing someone in person, but you get the same benefits, for real. You can do, you can text them, you can email them, you can FaceTime, Skype, all that good stuff. So do it. There's a link in our podcast bio that you can click. And if you use that link, we will get a little bit of love back.
Hell yeah. It's your boy.
Email us if you have a song submission or question or thought or comment. Email us at imsorrydadpod@gmail.com. And we will definitely read it at home. And we might read it aloud on the pod. And that's it. Come see me do stand-up sometime. Just hit me up on Twitter. My DMs are open. I'd love you to come see a show. I think that just about does it. As you can tell, Brandon is not here with me right now. He had to go to an AIDS convention. I'm just kidding. We actually talk about how much we say AIDS, and maybe we say AIDS too much. Because, I don't know, it's not always that funny. I mean, sure, AIDS is hilarious, but maybe we were overdoing it. Obviously, I'm kidding. Guys, enjoy this episode with Manon Matthews. Follow her everywhere at Manon Matthews. Check out her videos. She is a wonderful person and a great friend. So show her some love. Let her know that you heard this episode and give her some love. Send her some dick pics. So enjoy this episode of I'm Sorry Dad podcast with Manon Matthews.
North Hollywood knows what it is. Echo Park still has no fucking clue what it is. Because it's just like a bunch of hipsters, but it's all like really old, but it's really expensive. So it's like, what the fuck is this place? It's too weird. But like North Hollywood's like, this is a place. It's cheap. Families are here. This is what it is. Bam.
Yeah. It's, and if you want to go up, get up, well, I guess you could walk in Echo Park too. That's probably better.
Guess what? We're recording.
Are we really?
We hot.
How long have we been recording
for? Pew, pew, pew.
For like 30 seconds, bruh.
Oh, shit.
You talked all about your sexuality.
Yeah.
Do you guys pick on Brandon here?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Mainly me. I'm not allowed to pick on Rye because he has too many insecurities.
Yeah. No, that's not true at all.
It's already started.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get it popping.
Well, it's true. I have insecurities, but you can pick on me.
Everyone has insecurities.
Of course.
Let's go around and talk about what we're most insecure about.
Let's go around the room and say 30 things we hate about each other.
Start Brandon.
Your sideburns. Manon Matthews.
Hi.
Our old close friend.
I'm not that old, though.
Why did you say old in the beginning?
You mean long time friend?
Yes.
Or even old, if I was old, I don't even care. What? Why do people get so offended by age?
Because, right?
Own it. Great, this is my age. You made it weird by being like, I remember I saw this guy like a couple nights ago, and I was like, so you turned 40. He's like, don't say that. So angry about it.
Jeez.
And I was like, okay, you just made that weird. I had no judgment on you.
I was just at a bar with a friend, and our friend Justin, DJ, one of his neighbors came. It was like, my friend's coming. It's her birthday. So I met her. I was like, hey, I'm Ryan. Happy birthday. And then I was like, how old are you? And I was like, oops, I'm not supposed to ask girls that. And she didn't answer. She just stayed silent. She just like looked at me like, don't ask me that. And I was like, sorry.
Since when? Who made up that rule that we're not allowed to ask age, and why is there any judgment towards it?
Culture has made that rule because women aren't supposed to age.
This all goes back to insecurity. At some point, someone was insecure about their age, and then other people followed and was like, I guess I should be insecure about my age. Right, Brandon?
What?
How do you feel when you tell people your age?
Especially, I feel vibrant and I have a skip in my step.
No.
I go, I'm 23.
Yay!
No, when an older woman, you meet an older woman.
Oh, and I tell them I'm 23?
Yeah, I feel like there might be a little bit of like...
Oh, there's definitely like a... Oh, okay.
You're not going to take me seriously.
Yeah, I got the reins. That's what it feels like. But it's all right. Once you get that cock a-flowing, you know, they just... All right, I'm not going to talk sexually while Manon's
that
here.
That got really fast. Don't you know not to talk that way in front of me? Do you know I'm really prude?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Manon is a huge whore. But hey, Manon, do you feel like men age... better? I hear this a lot. Girls say like men age way better than girls, but what does that even mean?
I honestly think it has everything to do with the energy that you have, because I think men haven't made it so much a thing.
Right.
So it's almost like they're confident, so they age better. I don't even think it has anything to do with looks. I think if women didn't get so much plastic surgery and were so insecure about their age and they just owned their age, they would come across more confident, and so therefore they're not aging better than men.
What does that mean, age better? Does that mean like women get wrinkles before men?
I think that's maybe what some people mean by it, and then other people have other meanings.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like everything.
I mean, our society allows men to like get wrinkles, and like women are like, I love men with like white hairs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, most men don't age well. Most men bald, they get wrinkles, everything just drops, basically.
Dude, it's kind of early in the morning and your voice is really sexy right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You do have a nice like low voice.
Okay.
I gotta say.
All right, guys. All right, let's pipe down here. I can
That's
sense
like probably
the sexual
my
tension.
Favorite thing about you is your voice.
My
Everything else.
Not so much.
Is great as well. See how I just switched it?
Yeah, that was a good bait and switch.
You thought the humor was going to come from a negative, and then I switched it on you, so I beat you.
The old switcheroo. Some broad I've been fucking. No,
oh
just kidding.
God.
A girl I went on a date with listened to the podcast, and she said she really likes your voice, and then I was threatened by that and
broke up with her.
I broke up with her.
Sorry, man. But, you can send her a voice memo of me going, hey, I'm so sorry you and Rye broke up. That's so bad.
Oh,
so,
man. Dude, you're making me hard right
really?
Now.
I feel like I sound like an 8-year-old boy.
I sound like an eight-year-old boy.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Exactly.
It's not sexy at all.
I like your voice.
Or I sound kind of like Zen.
Zen? What's that?
What is Zen?
Like the attitude?
Oh, like relaxed.
Oh
okay.
I sound Zen.
I'll hear myself and I'll go, ugh.
Speaking of super sexy voices, ooh. Manon's new fling.
Fiance.
Manon is recently engaged and your fiance has a really sexy voice.
The most sexy voice I've ever heard in my damn life.
Mm. Here, wait, can I like...
You can try it.
Wait, in post-production, I will play a clip of his voice. Can I do that?
Oh, for sure.
All right, listen to this voice right here.
Damn, I have a hot fiance. Shit.
I'm the one with the sexy fiance.
Oh, you didn't tell me you had a fiance?
It's you.
Oh, it's me?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm hard.
I just came.
But before we get into your engagement and fiance, let's rewind to whenever you moved to New York.
Oh, yeah.
Like a year ago?
In August. Which is not quite a year ago, but I guess it does feel like it's been a long time for you guys.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's cool?
You're married. You're engaged.
I'm engaged. How dare you touch my hand?
I haven't seen you in a long time, but when we saw each other, it was like
nothing.
No time has passed.
By all. Us.
Us. Me and you.
That's the thing about true friendship. Mm. It's like I was just with you guys yesterday, but everything in my life's completely flipped.
Mm-hmm. All right, so New York, why did you move there?
Born and raised in LA, needed a change, felt like I was carrying a lot energetically, and on my body that wasn't mine. And I thought, I need to make this soul.
Your body wasn't yours?
No, I know. I was just kind of, I don't know where that went. I just meant like physically, like I feel like energetically, if you're holding a lot and you're just like not fully aligned with your soul and your spirit and you're not doing things for you and you're doing things for other people, it'll show. It'll freaking show. I don't know if we're allowed to curse.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Fuck.
And I didn't even know that I was caring that much, but I'm from here. So every association I have with where I'm going, who I'm with is like all baggage. And I do my best to clear it up and stuff, but I'd wanted to move somewhere else for so long. And I never did that because I kept searching for approval. Like, so I think I'm going to move to New York and I'd wait and see what they said. And then it wasn't until I just said, you know what? I have to do this for me. That I honored myself. And so I moved there and I was walking around and the energy and everything shifted and I feel like myself again,
nice.
Like who I really am, which is happy.
Yeah.
And you look good too. It's one of the first things I told you yesterday.
Thank you. I mean, feel really good.
You like, always look good, but like I want to eat you out more than ever.
Oh my God. We can make that happen. That's all he says to me, by the way. That's half of our dialogue. I'm like, hi, Rye.
I want to eat you up right
That's
now.
That's what he says. Look how red he's getting.
It's funny. I'm getting red because I'm
funny
laughing.
Because it's true.
I would munch your box.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't say that to many women, man. So
I take it. I feel it's a compliment.
It's a real compliment.
Because it's not... Like that's a compliment. I feel like if for a woman, that's a high compliment. Not many women might accept it.
Sure.
But I'm just going to let it flow.
What's up? Munch your box.
Once you resist, persists. And if I kept resisting it, he might take it and persist it.
Oh, jeez.
And then I might
like,
get raped.
What do you mean? Oh, jeez.
That's funny.
That's inappropriate.
Actually, it's one of my rules we were discussing yesterday. Rules of myself to not date or hook up with comedians or influencers. So sorry, I can't eat you out.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And also,
I'm engaged.
Yeah, that's right. I guess I can respect that too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let me see the ring.
How many carats?
Oh, I have no idea.
Nice. I never look at rings.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But anytime people keep asking to do that, I'm like so awkward about it. I'm like, okay.
You know why? You know why I asked you? Because I felt. Because like that's what people do. Oh, let me see the ring.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
I don't give a fuck.
Well, then take the ring off, Manon. Take it off.
No, because it reminds me of that moment, the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
So why would I take that off?
Yeah.
It's like a tattoo. I don't have any tattoos. And for me, when I look down, I go, oh, heartbeats of love. And so why would I take it off?
But
I don't look and go, how many carats is that? I don't give a shit.
24 carats.
But let's rewind. You moved to New York. You get there. Is it scary?
The unknown can be very scary. Yeah, not having much of a plan was pretty terrifying. But I also liked that part of it, is like getting lost and like letting myself just explore and follow my gut, follow my spirit, rather than having everything planned out. Because I'm someone that likes control and I like to have things planned out so that I can feel comfortable in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that freedom of like, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, yeah. I was riding on the back of motorcycles. It's for real, and I'd never done that. Oh,
did you just?
No one was driving the motorcycle. I was just on the back of it.
Yeah, motorcycle that drove itself.
Doing things that I have always wanted to do, but always kind of scared to do, like living somewhere else, not knowing anyone, just walking around for hours. And so my spirit was so happy that I naturally started treating myself better. And I think, you know, I was 10 pounds heavier, I think. And it kind of just fell off without even me trying. Whereas when I was living here, I was doing CrossFit. I was eating so clean. Mm. I was just trying so hard. Yeah. And that anger doesn't bode well for a body.
Mm. Yeah.
So you got to New York and you became homeless and you rode on the back of motorcycles and ate from the garbage and lost 10
yeah,
pounds. Is that what happened?
That's nothing at all. I don't know where you got that from.
Oh, sorry. That's what I interpreted.
Is that what everyone is hearing, what I just said?
No.
No.
No, that's just what I heard.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm
that's
projecting.
You're projecting.
Yeah,
your
because
onto
I eat out of the garbage.
It's awkward.
Anyways.
We can tell.
So, like, how was, like, the whole finding an apartment process real quick? I know it's kind of boring.
Oh, awful.
But, yeah.
Terrible. So stressful because rent is so high that I have to justify, like spending that much on rent.
Yeah.
But I really had rent controlled here. So I never like upgraded. So I was like, you know what? I never upgraded. This is my time. Even if I do this for a year, cause I went there just visiting thinking, you know what? I'm going to give it 3 to 6 months. If I hate it, I'll come back. And within 3 months, I was like, you know what? If I'm really going to do this, I should be here for a year and like really do it. And it was a learning experience. I mean, it was not an easy process. I looked at 18 places and the last place I looked was the place I got.
Wow. I hate looking for apartments. I was just thinking last night, I was listening to a podcast, Tuesdays with Stories with Joe List and Mark Norman, and they live in New York, and I just heard Joe List saying, like, I went and walked to Starbucks, and I was like, wow, what did he go through just to walk to Starbucks? Probably elevator, locking a door, just 8 times.
That's the thing. Walking. It's made me so much stronger. I was on a 5-floor walk-up.
Yeah.
And if I left something, I wasn't about to go back up there.
Right.
75 steps. So maybe that's why I got fit too, is because I was forced to walk everywhere. And anytime I didn't want to do it, I didn't have a choice, because you don't jump in a cab and get there much faster.
Right.
And it feels so good to walk. And now I'm constantly like, okay, I got to be in motion, got to be in motion. Tony Robbins said, emotion comes from motion. So if you're depressed, get up and start moving.
Oof.
Woo.
Woo.
Who?
I mean, also if you're depressed.
Tony Robbins?
Yeah.
Isn't he the guy that does self-help books?
Yeah. He's all about neuro-linguistic programming and self-improvement, and he's helped millions of people.
Mm.
Made millions of dollars too, you know what I mean?
Speaking of dollars, did you notice that you were just spending a shitload of money in New York?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all gone.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm going to move back.
Hey, when are you moving back?
In like a year.
Did you have any scary experiences, like almost getting mugged or like feeling unsafe walking around New York?
I could have, but my mental state was just to keep moving through and to just surround myself with light and love and protection. And so I don't let my mind go there. So I didn't get mugged. No.
So you're saying to all the young women out there,
you just imagine that you won't get mugged.
I also don't drink, and I wasn't out at 3 a.m.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's probably a big contributor.
Uh-huh.
The latest I was out was really like 1 a.m., I think. And if I was out that late, I was usually with someone. And I live in Gramercy, which is not very... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know. Nice. It's not, I don't know. It's not a sketchy neighborhood, I guess.
Gramercy, that's close to the Stand Comedy Club.
Yes, it is. It's right there. That's where I live.
That's where I frequent when I go to New York. The Stand in Stand Up New York. Anyways, enough about me. What was I just about to ask you? Oh, yeah. Stand up. I saw you did a gig at Caroline's.
I did. That was my first show in New York ever.
How did it go?
Amazing. I did 20 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah, I opened for Rolanda Watts, who is not a stand-up comedian, but she did some stand-up. Like, she was just getting into it, and she's more of like a talk show host and an author, and was doing stand-up, and so she had me open for her, and it was fantastic.
You did well?
Yes.
Nice.
I did well.
Did you open with your dance routine?
I did. I definitely did. I had 20 minutes, so I had to fill it out with something.
So the first 15 was dancing.
Yeah, it was just 20 minutes of dancing and 1 minute joke.
And so you're in New York, and you were kind of on the dating scene for a while, right?
A little bit. Not much. I had just gotten out of a relationship, so I was kind of taking it easy and wanting to continue to explore and fall deeply in love with myself,
right,
whatever that looks like, which is just getting comfortable with myself. I don't want to search outward necessarily for my inner peace.
Yeah.
And so I was very aware of that. So I gave it about 2 weeks and then, I got on Bumble.
Yeah. Cool.
And, I really only dated 2 guys there.
Cool.
Like really, I wasn't dating much.
It's definitely important to find out who you are as a single person before you are with somebody else.
Oh my God. Cause then you'll just search for them to give you positive feedback. And what if they don't have it at the time? Then what? Yeah. You crumble? Screw that.
And then you develop codependency issues and shit like that. I dated a girl.
I feel like Brandon's taking all of this in right now and learning.
No,
or he's high.
Well, that's condescending.
I'm just listening.
I'm watching him and his eyes are going all over the place.
Well, I'm looking back and forth at the people talking.
Yeah. That's no, I all. Get it. Okay. Didn't mean to say sound condescending.
Well, that was very, wow. You know what you just did was what you just said old women, not old women, what older women do, which is condescend to younger people. That's what you just did.
I'm ageist, I guess.
Yeah,
I apologize. That's not my intention ever.
It's all right.
I hate it when girls call me hun.
Really?
Who calls you hun?
It's condescending to me. Hey, hun. It's like, we're peers.
Ooh, it's projection. You're projecting onto someone that's not their issue. No. When I call people like sweetheart and honey, it makes me feel so good because it's like love. I love you. Basically what I'm saying.
The way you say it, I like it. But sometimes it's like, oh, hey, hun. It's like, hey, little buddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, what you're saying. I see your point as well. Yeah.
Well, it's like you. Have you ever called a girl dude? You've been like, what's up, dude?
Yeah. Said that? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, they fucking hate it. A lot of girls hate it.
I don't hate it.
Well, man doesn't hate it, but I've met multiple girls like, don't call me that.
Really?
Don't have a cock.
Well, maybe they have a crush on you.
Yeah.
And if you call them dude, like maybe you have a crush on whoever called you hun, and you're like, this is annoying. I want to sleep with you. And you're acting like you're my mother.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm thinking back to high school actually when like particularly a girl I did not want to hook up with like, hey, hun. Yeah. But anyways,
see, it's all relative. Everything's different.
No, it wasn't.
You can't generalize here.
Yeah, my relatives do call me hun sometimes.
Your relatives?
It's all relative.
Good one.
You know what? I've been pretty funny lately, but not today.
I'm not either. Today's a weird day.
I woke up.
Why is today a weird day?
I don't know. I just said that because I wanted to justify why we're not funny.
Yeah. It's all right.
Now moving forward, we will be.
Yes. Yes.
It's a lot of pressure now, man.
So you're in New York. You're fucking hella dudes.
Hey, no, I'm not.
She went on two dates with.
No,
guys
I went
from
on
Bumble.
One. I went on. I hung out with two guys over some months separately. One guy I was hanging out with for a while.
Mm. The motorcycle guy.
The motorcycle guy. Firefighter.
Whoa.
It was pretty cool.
Speaking of firefighting, how was that dude's hose?
Moving on. Let's move on.
Yeah, that was another terrible joke too. God damn it, Ryan.
I mean, it was kind of, I'm sure someone will laugh at that.
Yeah, probably.
It's just not something I want to discuss.
Yeah.
Cause I don't.
We have a lot of really stupid listeners who will laugh at that.
Yeah.
So. Hey.
Fucking idiots.
We love you all.
But moving forward, let's try to not talk over each other, guys. We're doing well, but we're excited, so.
I think I do have a lot of excitement. I don't do this ever.
Yeah.
I don't get to talk or feel heard. So this is really exciting.
Or feel heard.
Unless I'm with Murph.
That's right.
All right, so you fucked the motorcyclist man, and then you met Murph. Is that what happened? How did you meet Murph? Your husband or
my fiance,
okay.
My future husband.
Future husband.
It's still so weird to say that.
Yeah,
I've never said that before in my entire life.
Yeah, that was the first time you just said that right there.
Future husband.
I don't think I've said that yet.
Say it again. Your second.
My future husband.
Ooh.
What about it?
Where'd you meet?
No, just where did you guys meet?
So, I was actually seeing the firefighter.
Firefighter.
And.
How was his hose?
Oh my god.
What was the spray distance? You know what I mean? Anyways, let's keep
honest,
going.
I don't even remember. I have a terrible memory.
I was just kidding. So do I, actually.
It's really bad. Like, I literally don't think about past much, which is another way to get out of depression. The people that are depressed, which I've experienced depression much in my life, so I'm not saying this from a place of not understanding. From a neurological standpoint, it's the people that obsess about the past and keep putting pictures of their mind in the past that tend to be more in depression, and the people that obsess about the future tend to be in more anxiety. But if we're right here, right now, it's pretty peaceful.
Nice.
Anyway, so I was on Instagram at night, and I looked at my friend's story, and there was this man petting this dog, and I felt compelled to reach out to him. He was in LA at the time, and I was in New York. And the next day was moving day, November 1st, and I went to send him a message because I just had to talk to him and saw that he'd written to me a year and a half before.
Right. And listen to what he said. It's so Manon.
It's so Manon. He wrote, "You shine like any other human I've seen in a very long time, and I'm happy to see how you're channeling your light."
Oh my God.
If that isn't a man who's made for Manon, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, no one talks like that.
No.
Yeah. I always feel like such a...
Well, people talk like that, but just really annoying, obnoxious LA fuckheads.
Yeah. And so we'd FaceTime that night, and the minute I saw him on my phone on FaceTime, I was like, that's my husband. I knew the minute I saw him, which
really?
I always hoped would happen, but it wasn't happening, so I just kind of gave up on that, because I heard people say that, like, when you know, you know, and I'm like, shut up, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, what if that doesn't happen to me? This sucks. And then it did. So
now,
this is for all the people that may have lost hope. I mean, don't settle, man. Do not settle. Thank God.
Right? Don't settle. I agree. Don't settle.
No. You can have everything you want.
But do you think maybe, and I don't think this, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
But he's super hot and he kind of looks like Tom Hardy and you love Tom Hardy. Was there a little biased in your
opinion? I actually don't think
there?
He looks anything like Tom Hardy.
All right.
But energetically, yeah, he's a kind of a badass, got some tattoos, kind of like come off a little intimidating with crystal blue eyes. Okay. Basically I'm describing Tom Hardy.
You're describing me.
I feel like he looks a little more like Tom Selleck. Or Tom Selleck and like Ewan McGregor, oh. Who was my first love. So
Ewan.
Like Ewan. You knew him?
Huh.
No, like in Moulin Rouge when he sang.
Mm. Okay. I
fell madly in love with him.
I'm a big fan of his acting.
No, I've definitely dated very gorgeous men before, like very gorgeous. And if you don't have the personality or the humor or the presence or the care or the love, I don't give a shit how good looking you are.
So you're in a difficult situation in that Murph lives fucking in Australia.
He lives across the world, literally the furthest away. When I was 18, I was in a long distance relationship from LA to Arizona, which at the time seemed like so far away.
That's tough.
Even though it was a 5-hour drive and a 1-hour plane ride, I would kill to be in that situation now. And at 18, I was like, I'm never doing this again. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. Cause I just want to be, I'm very physical and kinesthetic. I mostly, communicate through my body. That's why I love to dance.
Mm-hmm.
So to not be with him physically is excruciating, but it's teaching me patience cause I can be very impatient. And so I'm just taking it as if this is just one little hump
in
the rest of our lives.
Right. You're going to have a long life with him. Knock on wood.
Thank you.
Assuming he doesn't die on his plane.
Stop. No, I hate you. Shut the hell up.
Sorry. Oh, great. Here comes a leaf blower.
I'll
leaf
shut the
blower.
Window.
I got it.
All right.
I want to hear from Brandon.
I know. We haven't talked to Brandon yet.
AIDS. There you go.
Brandon is
okay. I have a comment to tell you about AIDS.
Go ahead.
A big influencer who's very funny, who I adore, said that you say it too much, and I want you to know that it's not becoming for a lot of people.
What, saying
I
AIDS
know it's
too
funny
much?
To you.
You said it to Jason.
I'm not going
to
say.
I only say it to a particular group of people, so I'm assuming I know who it is.
I'm just saying
it's not becoming. Is what you said. To say
it doesn't,
AIDS?
It does. It's not.
Do
as
you think
funny.
I say AIDS to make people like go like lighthearted yucks? That's not why I say it. I say it because it's funny to me.
Exactly.
It's funny to me.
But don't you want to bring funniness to the rest of the world?
No. Well, sometimes, sure, but not right
why
now.
Why am I asking this to Brandon?
Yeah, why are you asking me this question?
The guy that does, all he puts out is depression videos.
Not depression videos. They're just like, you know,
angry.
Not...
They're very angry.
Okay. Cynical.
Manon, can I ask you a question? Do you think I'm genuinely an angry person? Just go ahead.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, answer the question.
I think over time you've gotten happier.
Sure.
But
fucking leaf floor. I can still
can they hear? Can they hear this?
Yeah. Anyways, but it's all right. We'll power through. Sorry.
You can hear this?
Sorry, listeners. A little bit.
Okay. Anyways, go ahead.
Do you think Brandon's an angry person?
No, I don't think anyone's an angry person. I think
you just said I post depression videos. Though,
I say, yeah.
Easier.
I say sometimes you behave in an angry manner and don't seem. Like you don't seem, I can't generalize because over time it's changed. So I would say overall, I wouldn't pick you to be the happiest person I know.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, before I met you, Brandon, I was very surprised at how smiley and positive you were in real life. I was like, oh, he's happy. I thought you'd be like, hey, what's up, dude? Well, back then you're like, hey, what's up, dude?
Yeah, I guess it's just like, I don't know. You said people don't like when I say AIDS or whatever.
No, I'm not. I didn't say people. I said there are certain people that are
who have AIDS.
Who
that it's not
have
becoming.
AIDS. There are certain people
becoming.
That don't think that it's as funny as you do.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Great.
That's fine.
I was just sharing.
Well, then what? What? Why?
Well, because
why
you walked
that?
The window and you just said AIDS.
Yeah, because I was having fun with myself, man. In. I was having fun with myself. Manon, look, I feel like you said...
I get so curious about your brain. I want to know how it works in that way. I know crossing the limit and I love doing that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I don't find it funny. And I want to know what motivates you in your mind to go, oh, this is funny.
Well...
What motivates
you to laugh at what you laugh at?
Depends.
Do you analyze it? Do you psychoanalyze your own the humor that you find funny? I mean,
yeah,
I don't do
I think
that.
I think everything's like an equation. I think there's clever twists, there's bait and switch, there's the rules of three. So I get very scientific because I think comedy is a formula.
Mm-hmm.
And so on this particular one, I'm curious to know how your mind works with that and goes, oh, I wonder what about AIDS he thinks is funny. Is it the pressing the limits?
No, it's just because it's funny to me. No, it's just funny to me. And I think it also makes other people uncomfortable sometimes and they don't know how to handle it. And that's funny to me. I kind of like making people uncomfortable sometimes when they don't really know how to handle it. Sometimes, not all times, but it's funny to me. It's just funny. But you just say AIDS out loud, no one knows how to react to that. So that's all.
And so that silence makes you giggle inside.
I giggle when things are fucking strange. Kind of like now.
So you're giggling.
Inside, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Ooh, wait. Are things getting awkward? That'd be great for the podcast. Wait, you guys going to have a fight?
You want us to have
a fight? Honestly, I fight more with Brandon than anyone I know.
Well, it's because we're polar opposites.
We really are the opposite.
A complete opposite of the spectrum. And that's okay.
Of Asperger's? Not funny.
It's just because I'm a certain way. I wouldn't call myself an angry or depressed person. I just think differently.
I don't think you're angry or a depressed person. I think sometimes the behavior that comes across can be a little depressing.
Sure. And you're psychoanalytical and you're very spiritual and you like to sometimes tell people what they're thinking. You do. Like you're doing with me right now.
You're telling me what you're thinking.
This is what I think your behavior is like. Or you like to point out behavior. Maybe that's a better thing to say.
Okay.
You're very like analytical in that sense. Like you're like psychoanalytical. And that's fine. But we argue because sometimes when I disagree with a way of thinking that you have, like a philosophy, you get very upset at me.
Okay.
Which goes against your philosophy.
Can I tell you why?
Sure.
It's not because it's going against my philosophy. Mm. It's I'll hear you say something negative, and because I've learned so much about language and how it drives our behavior, I'm always wanting to protect you. It's always coming from a place of love of when I hear anyone say, it's not just about you. I heard anyone say, I can't do this because I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. This is not something you've said. I'm just saying, if I heard someone say that, of course I'm going to pattern interrupt and go, yes, you are good enough. I don't believe this because I want to combat that because maybe they don't have anyone else in their life saying, yes, you can.
Sure.
And sometimes your language can be a little on the negative side. So as your friend, as a person that cares, I go, hey, what if you looked at it like this? Because sometimes we don't know if there's another way or another possibility. Mm-hmm. And I thank the universe for the people that have come in my life and go, hey, you're really sad right now. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know that here's another way to look at it because sometimes we're very limited in our thinking. And so just so you're aware that I'm coming at it in a way to protect you.
Whether it's projection or not, I think that can come off as condescending and like, I can help you. And someone might be like, I don't want your fucking help. You know what I mean?
Well,
yeah, that's the way that it comes off. The only reason it comes off that way to me is because when you do it, two things. I'm going to go back to what we were talking about with the older people talking to younger people thing. Sometimes I feel like, as a person, you don't take me very seriously. And that's fine. I don't need people to take me seriously. But you in particular, you've always kind of come off as somebody that needs to talk down to me. Like, this is what you're feeling. I'm throwing it out there now.
Why didn't you tell me this not on a podcast?
I want to tell you it just like
Jesus.
Here. All I'm saying is that that's how I've felt like since I've met you, since I've been 19,
oh my
is that it's
God.
A you're... You're projecting your philosophy or you're just like kind of condescending your philosophy down on me because you don't think that I can figure out thoughts for myself. That's how I feel.
I've never,
sometimes.
But I don't actually think that. So,
well, but that's
aren't
how
you
I'm
just,
interpreting
aren't
it.
You just, yeah, you're interpreting it as if I'm condescending. Mm-hmm. Isn't it possible too, that you're projecting maybe an insecurity that maybe you don't know? Because if I were having this conversation, which I do with many people, they're able to play tennis and they don't take offense to it. They go, oh yeah, and this, or I agree, or blah, 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 blah. But the way, isn't condescending also a projection?
Sure.
Because I get that. And to be honest, like if I ever felt that, I actually don't think I'm better than you. I don't think that you don't know anything. I actually think you're very smart and brilliant. And that's what I've always have tried to push on you, is that I want to, I've always tried to encourage.
But that's the problem is, it's just pushing. That's all. It's just like a...
Yeah, well, if a kid goes, I'm not good enough, of course I'm going to push my will that they're better than they think they are.
Yeah.
I don't need your permission to let you know that you are good enough.
Okay.
Because I'm willing to look bad and look like the bad guy to override your negative thinking, because who gives a shit?
Sure.
At least I'm walking away going, well, I sprinkled some positivity. Maybe you're interpreting it through your own lens, but...
Sure.
But yeah, I'm willing to not be liked, because I can't settle for someone that talks negatively about themselves. I will not stand for it.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good.
And I apologize if I'm coming off condescending, because that's definitely not. I don't think I'm better than you.
No.
I actually think you're very smart and very mature for your age.
This is something that's just I've felt for a while. That's all. And I just want to talk to you about it. I'm sorry.
Tell me about it then.
I
don't
just
bring it up on a podcast.
No, bring it up on a podcast.
Jesus.
That's all. It's just that I think
you're like, ever since I met you, you talk down to me. What?
Well, no, I'm saying ever since I met you, I've felt that there's been this wall where I'm talking up at you and you're talking down to me. It's like you're in a castle. That's what it feels like. Or maybe I'm putting up a bit of a moat or something. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of analogies here for fucking castles and shit. But what I'm saying is that it's like, that's how I've felt.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm really sorry. I did not mean to make you feel that way.
It's okay. I'm glad I said it. I've never told you that.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay. I think it's fine.
It's totally fine. And
I know, but I'm genuinely apologizing, because I care more about the flow of our friendship. I would never want you to feel a block towards me.
I think part of this dynamic is that, like, you're the youngest in your family.
Sure.
And you're always around us influencers. We're all older than you normally. Uh-huh. So like the whole little brother syndrome, not a syndrome, but.
No, that's definitely a reason for it. Yeah,
yeah. You get tired of being told what to do, and it's like
my older brothers never told me what to do. That was actually interesting, because they weren't like brotherly. You know what I mean? Like they weren't like giving me advice on stuff, because they were like, you know, they had problems. They didn't really do that with me. Uh-huh. I barely got that from my parents. So my whole life, I've kind of like. Form my own I've had to just by nature I have to form my own like way of thinking.
Man, and you look really sad right now.
Oh man. Oh my god.
No,
are you I didn't mean to make you feel sad. I just wanted to, because you're all about openness and honesty, so I just wanted to tell you that.
No,
that's
and I'm
how
so
I felt.
I'm glad you did.
You just wish I didn't do it on the podcast.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
I just don't want the world to think I'm condescending, but if they do, then there's nothing I can do about that.
Sure.
Everyone's going to have their different perspective anyway, right? Cause we're all projecting our inner state. So whatever, what I feel now, I'm like so conscious about the way I'm talking.
Oh.
By the way, this
is subjective.
It's
probably subjective.
Gonna come up if you're younger than everyone you hang out with.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like I don't even know, like 6 years older. So of course I see a younger person that seems I am projecting that you have had a harder time because of the way that I've perceived you.
Mm-hmm.
And so my instinct is to go, okay, here's how I can help.
Sure.
And that didn't work.
No. It's, some of the things you have told me throughout me knowing you have been beneficial, massively beneficial. And I've taken them to heart. But I mean, there's times, and then there's those times, and then there's some other times. That's all. That's all it is. And I guarantee that you felt the same way about me. I guarantee that there's been something I've said that's just irked you in some way. And you can tell me if you want.
Well, I think you already know there has been.
Yeah, there has been. I mean, you don't have to tell me, but I know that there has been. So,
well, yeah, you would sit me down at coffee and you'd say, I'm struggling with this situation and what should I do? And I So you asked for my guidance and I told you what you should do. And I pour my heart out for 20 minutes going, this is what I would do. Mm-hmm. This is what I believe. I can only talk about myself.
Yeah.
And then right after that, you go, ah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Did I say that?
Yes.
Did I really
over
say
and over and over again?
I
feel like I wasted my entire energy even talking to somebody that's not taking in anything I'm saying because you have a block because you think I'm condescending. So you can't even hear what I'm saying because you're already mad at me.
No, in that moment, I remember what you're talking about. I was going through a problem with I think it was a girl, and I came to you and I was like, hey, can we talk about this? And I remember at the end of it being more like I was like, well, A, I was just depressed because of what had happened. So I was like, you have to understand, I was taking a lot of advice from a lot of different people when it came to that, because I didn't know how to handle it. And your advice came and I was like, okay, I don't remember saying, fuck you. I remember going like, yeah, okay, yeah. And like just kind of taking it and be like, okay, yeah. Whether or not I do something with this information and utilize it is, I'm not going to say, like, I'm going to go, yeah, you're right. I'm doing that. I didn't say that. I was
what
more just like, okay.
But can I tell you what you did say?
Go ahead.
You said, I don't know. I'm not going to do that.
I said, I don't know. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. That's your response a lot of the time is you go, I don't know. So
yeah, I don't know.
I take that as you don't know. If you would have said, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's a way different language.
I think I know that this period you were going through, you would talk to me a lot about it too.
Sure. Yeah.
And I would give a lot of advice. I was trying to help, and you would do the same thing.
Saying like, I don't know.
But I concluded that you just wanted to talk. You just wanted to let things out.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was like, all right. And I had to think hard and long about like, how come he's not taking any of my advice?
But at a certain point, yeah, that's actually a good observation. So at a certain point, when you're going through some shit, like my mom talks to me about her problems with, you know, with guys. And I stopped really giving advice and just start listening.
Yeah.
Cause I figured like she's going to do what she's going to do. Cause she's a different person than me. And all I can do is just sit there and just listen and go, hey man, look, you know, I get it and it sucks and I'm sorry, but I have no, like, and I can try to say something to make it better. But at the end of the day, I mean, who knows if it's actually going to make it better?
Yeah, because realistically, we actually don't know what's best for anybody.
Sure.
And I know that, I feel like I know that really well. And so I actually hear that as like, we all just want to feel heard and talk it out because we actually can come to what's best for ourselves within ourselves. Because how would I ever know what's right for Brandon? Mm-hmm. And how would I ever know what's right for you guys? And if I'm coming across like, I know what's best, that's ridiculous. And so I am sorry for doing that. Because
okay.
I don't know what's best for you. If I hear something, I go, I want to, if it's on the negative side, it's probably me also trying to protect myself.
Sure.
It's like, this is hard for me to be around because we are very different.
Yeah.
And so if you're saying like the world sucks, of course I'm going to go, the world doesn't suck. It's a beautiful place because I don't want to adopt that thought. I don't.
You're actively trying to like
myself.
Take it away from you.
I have
you.
A job to do on this freaking planet, which is to bring love and light. Yeah. And if I'm surrounding myself with people that are saying
dark clouds,
dark things, mm-hmm. I have to excuse myself from the situation because it's going to mess with my purpose on the planet.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And we all have different purposes. I can't assume that yours is to be a love and light also, and you're supposed to spread dancing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know your purpose. And you're right. Sometimes I do think that I know better and that's wrong.
And I think, during that time, I think you were you heartbroken?
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, when someone's heartbroken, they're kind of like unable to think rationally. I've studied heartbreak because I was recently heartbroken, or I've researched heartbreak. And the psychologist, Dr. Guy Wench, I think his name is. He's got TED Talks all about heartbreak. If you're listening to this and you're heartbroken, Google, I think it's Dr. Guy Wench, heartbreak shit. It'll help. He says like you're chemically different in your brain and you're idolizing the person you're thinking of and you are unable to think rationally. Like you are just flat out unable
psycho.
To think rationally. Yeah, you're insane.
Yeah, and so there's no, you can't mess with insane. Try dealing with a schizophrenic, insane person on the street, homeless. Like, there's no, you can't communicate with them because you're speaking a different language. You're in two different worlds.
Right.
So you can't rationalize with that. And that makes sense. I mean, you did, I remember you did, it was a specific thing. So that's why I felt like I had to share, because you did ask for my advice. Mm. And I also know the importance of people just needing to get things out, because it's important. And maybe you just needed to get that out.
Well, I apologize if I made it seem like your advice wasn't taken at least a little to heart. It was. It definitely was.
I love
was.
Knowing that. Thank it you just, for when I that. Went,
you have to also understand that I'm also like, this is generalizing a lot of guys, but when I get this like mushy thing, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like how I go, like, yeah, I don't fucking, yeah.
Yeah, you're deflecting.
It's deflecting, but it's not like that deflection is, it's like, that's almost an aesthetic. It's not how I'm really feeling inside. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I say, yeah, I don't know. But so in the inside, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that makes some sense. And yeah, that helped.
So,
but at the outside, I have to go like, ah, I don't know. Just to keep things like not too, because vulnerability
not too,
is
not too vulnerable. Not
vulnerability
too
is great. And so is intimacy. But it's at a certain point you want to go, you're like, oh, this is too much.
But that's not going to heal the situation. Imagine if that time when you were expressing how you felt and I said, what's really going on? And you broke down and you said, I don't feel like I'm good enough. Like, because that's all basically what we're suffering from, is not feeling good enough. When someone turns us down, it can make us feel like, wow, if I were better, if I were better looking, if I were smarter, if I were just better enough, if more people liked me, then maybe she would like me. And when she doesn't like me, or she's not giving the attention that I feel I deserve or that I want to give her, then all of a sudden this opportunity for love is gone. And that would hurt anybody. And what probably needed to be expressed for you and for most people is what's really going on, which is getting to the heart of it, which is I'm suffering from feeling like I'm not good enough. In which case you like that can be expressed through tears or language or whatever. And now I'm feeling like I'm condescending.
Let me switch gears a little bit.
I just get passionate about this.
I was about to say that before. You're very passionate about spreading, I would say, positivity.
And with that said,
you're very passionate about it.
I have a question for you. Do you ever get like, you're on a constant quest for happiness and peace. Do you ever get stressed out by your quest for that? Which would be ironic in that, like, I'm trying not to be stressed out. Don't be stressed out.
Oh my God. Yeah. I would say I'm on a quest to be an acceptance of how the world is and how I am. I obviously striving for happiness is ridiculous. Because happiness is not, as we learned in Inside Out, it's not better than sadness. Mm. It's just as important. So I'm trying to get to a place where I can be in full acceptance of myself and others just as they are. You know what I mean? Because healing is loving the parts of ourselves that hurt. So when someone's upset, I just need to love them through that and be present and not think that I should know better. And I have to do that for myself, which I didn't do that for myself, which is why I had such a hard time in my 20s, is because I wasn't in acceptance of where I was at. So if I was in pain, I was constantly trying to avoid the pain.
Right.
And resisting that pain caused more pain.
Totally.
So it's like resisting the present moment is always going to be very uncomfortable. Like when I get sick, I'm getting to a place where I'm like, you know what? I'm sick. Great. My body's just like, just accepting the freaking moment and accepting myself and accepting others for where we're at. If we had more acceptance, like that's what I'm striving for. And yes, that can absolutely stress me out. Trying to be relaxed, trying to be accepting can stress me out, because there's still that part of me that doesn't accept it.
Right.
It's and I want to get to that point of like, well, why don't I accept that?
Maybe Tony Robbins was not fully right when he said, if you're depressed, get up and go outside. Because I think my new thought process through my new therapy shit is, if you're depressed, own it and accept it. Allow yourself to be sad.
Yeah, and can't you still get up and go outside?
Yeah, but I went through a period
where... You don't want to dwell in it.
I went through a period where I couldn't get out of bed. It was the first time ever I couldn't. And I felt ashamed. I was like, I can't get out of bed. You're a fucking piece of... You're pussy.
Yeah,
that's so misogynistic, but whatever. But my therapist was like, no, that's what your body needs. Do it. Like, I live a lifestyle where I can stay in bed all day if I have to, and I had to. So that was like, oh my God, wait, I can be sad and like, I don't have to be ashamed of it. It was cool. I'm changing the subject.
Yeah. So you were accepting your sadness.
Yeah.
I don't think either one is wrong. I don't think Tony Robbins saying, right. I mean, neither I don't do even I. know much about Tony Robbins, to be honest. I remember that quote of like, emotion comes from motion. And I can only speak for myself is when I'm getting up and I'm moving and I'm not thinking about what's making me so sad. Cause I can obsess about that for years and I did, and it didn't do anything. It just was a spiral. And so there's a difference between dwelling and going, okay, it's time, and telling myself it's time to get up and just move and be in the sunshine and move around, and it'll naturally help. Mm-hmm. It's not going to, I mean, I can't say. It might take away your depression. It might not. I don't think either one is wrong.
What's funny is I just the other night I ordered late night unhealthy food, which my therapist said, like, it's okay to stress eat. Like, your food can match your mood. So when I was depressed, I was like, all right, cool, I'll get some pizza. But the other night, I'm not depressed anymore, and I got unhealthy food, and that's when I was like, a moment where like, no, snap out of it. No, don't do that. Like, you were just mentioned, like, what the fuck did you just say? It was a moment where I was like,
you changed your language to yourself?
I was like, I'm doing this out of gluttony, and I just want bad food. I'm not doing it to, like, match my mood. So I was like, come on, Rye. Eat healthy, piece of shit.
You're, like, using your sadness as an excuse just to eat bad.
Yeah, I was like, my therapist says it's okay to eat bad.
Yeah. If I'm sad, I can eat bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
I think that's also what happened when I moved to New York was I wasn't so resistant to life because I think I had some anger at myself for not doing it sooner. So I was walking around in LA being like, I could be living here. I could be living here. So I was very resistant. And when I moved to New York, I was actually eating whatever I wanted. And the consciousness around the food changed. I wasn't eating with anger. I was like, really be like, it's okay. It's okay. And
yummy.
I was like accepting it. And then it just, it's really fascinating to me, like what language can do for us.
Right. How are you feeling, Manon? Are you okay right now? Are you sad?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. So I want you to be happy.
I'm happy.
I want you to be happy, hun.
I'm happy. I am what I am. I don't even know. I haven't checked in with how I feel yet. But you just did. I feel fine.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure we didn't hurt your feelings or anything.
No, I feel like this is the apology podcast because we've just been apologizing. Well, Brandon and I have been.
Yeah.
And also we've said the word projecting
like 18 times.
Yeah. If you're listening,
projecting.
Let's do it.
What is projecting? Let's talk. What is that even? Do you know what that is?
It's when you're just throwing out emotion at someone because you have that emotion inside of you.
Yeah, like what is a projector? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I was projecting when Vine went away and some people weren't as responsive to me. Like on social media, like friends, like, hey, want to make videos? They weren't as responsive. I was like, they were using me for my numbers. Mm-hmm. And now they don't like me. They never liked me. But that I was doing a lot of projecting there.
You're projecting and mind reading.
Yeah.
How will we ever know what anyone else is feeling ever?
And actually, Brandon helped me a lot one night because I was like, they're not real friends. I was like angry, yelling. I was a little bit drunk. Remember at Adam's place?
I remember this,
We're not fucking real friends. Like, and I was embarrassed. I was like, I can't believe I'm 33 and I didn't realize that that person wasn't a real friend. And Brandon was like, dude, chill. He's busy. Like, everyone's busy. Everyone's stressed out. It's not you. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I'm changing the subject.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, but you were projecting because maybe that's something that you also thought in the midst of it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe you question that when you're in the not even posts. I'm talking in the midst of like Vine and everything. You're like, are these guys just like using me? And so like when you weren't getting, they were like, yeah, they were. That confirms it. When in reality, it's more just like everyone's just busy and stressed and shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we got to wrap it up. This was a fucking good episode. Loved the drama.
There was so much drama. A lot was revealed.
Yeah. A lot was revealed. Stripped bare, I would say. I feel good about it.
I feel good.
I love you guys so much. And anything I ever say always comes from love. So please know that.
I love you too.
Thank you.
No, and I really want to eat you out.
Oh my God. I'm engaged.
Any
to
last,
be married.
Any last words, Manon?
I already said them.
Okay.
I love everyone that's listening as well, whether you like it or not.
And we're going to do an intro and tell everybody who you are and where to follow you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, you want to be on it?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm just listening. I'm just responding.
Right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm so sorry, Dad.